In 1974, the Monsanto Company, now owned by Bayer, launched a weed killer called Roundup. In the 90s, they began introducing their Roundup-ready seeds, meaning farmers could spray entire fields, officially killing weeds without, they said, harming crops. Roundup is now considered the most heavily used agricultural chemical in history. But critics have raised concerns over the health and environmental impacts of the glyphosate chemical. And thousands of cancer patients have claimed products made by Monsanto have caused their cancers. In 2018, the first cancer victim to take Monsanto to trial was awarded $289 million. Early last year, the second and third cases were brought to court, and Monsanto is required to pay out to victims again. But the U.S. EPA has ruled over the years that the chemical is safe, most recently in a report released last month. Carrie Gillum is an investigative journalist focusing on food and agriculture, former correspondent for Reuters International News Service. She's research director for the group U.S. Right to Know, a consumer group whose mission is pursuing truth and transparency in America's food system. She's the author of the book Whitewash, The Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science. Carrie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, a lot has happened in the courts in particular since your book came out, Carrie. But can you tell us, sum up for us some of the basic story, why people became concerned with Roundup and what led it into the courts?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I started covering this industry in 1998, and it really was sort of in the 90s and the 2000s that you started to see more and more research coming out from independent scientists around the world looking at the health impacts of these glyphosate-based herbicides. And they were doing this because, of course, the use was growing with genetically engineered crops. So more and more volume of this chemical was being, applied to farm fields and schools and parks and playgrounds and residential yards. So scientists started looking at this, and the body of research grew to such a level that in 2015, the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer decided to do a review of epidemiology, toxicology. There were a lot of concerns about the genotoxicity, the potential cancer-causing nature of this these herbicides. And they concluded, after they reviewed many, many years of all of these different scientific studies, that it looked like glyphosate was a probable human carcinogen with a particularly positive association to non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And that is what triggered all of this litigation then. All of the plaintiffs, there are more than 48,000 now in the U.S., are cancer victims or the family members of non-Hodgkin lymphoma victims who have died.
So we have that from the World Health Organization. But as I mentioned, the EPA consistently from Republican and Democratic administrations says, no, this stuff, we think it's safe. Why the difference?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a lot of reasons to explain that. I mean, one thing is that our regulatory structure is set up to rely pretty heavily on studies that are conducted by and for the registrants. So, for instance, Monsanto, when they want to sell their chemicals, they provide a lot of the studies to the EPA. So those are not independent scientific studies. The majority of the scientific studies show a cancer connection or some other reason for concern with these chemicals. The majority of Monsanto or industry paid for studies show that they're perfectly safe. Now, even back in the 1980s, one of the very first studies that was presented to the EPA that was paid for by Monsanto and was presented to the EPA by Monsanto, the EPA scientist at that time in 1983 said, it looks like this causes cancer. The mice who are being dosed with your chemical are developing rare tumors. We think this causes cancer. Monsanto pushed back. It became a very political sort of issue. And eventually the political people overrode the scientific people in the EPA. And it was determined that it did not look like it could cause cancer. And that's been the consistent message from the EPA ever since then. But it is a very, you know, the EPA, you know, it's, as you said, Republican or Democrat, many different companies. There's a corporate capture sort of issue with our regulatory agencies. I don't think that surprises anybody. And there's a real tendency to try to be protective of corporations.
What are you seeing in other countries when it comes to how glyphosates, like Roundup, are regulated or not regulated?
Well, it is different in every country. The system is sort of the same, though, particularly in Europe, where you rely pretty heavily, the regulators rely pretty heavily on corporate-funded science. And that's not necessarily because there's a corruption issue. It's because of a lack of resources. You know, we don't have a lot of money out there for independent long-term scientific studies of these widely used chemicals. So you pretty much have to rely on the companies who are going to be making the money off of them to spend the money to do the research, right? But it's a very imperfect system because, as I said, reviews of this across many industries, tobacco, pharmaceutical, oil and gas, have shown that when the company's paying for the research is usually pretty favorable for the safety of the company's product. So, but in Europe, you do see a bit more of a protective policy, a bit more concern about public health and trying to be more protective of public health. They banned some of the chemicals in Roundup because they found them to be so toxic. Other countries have been looking to ban Roundup and other glyphosate-based herbicides, Germany, Italy, France. They are not convinced that this stuff should remain on the market.
Talking to Carrie Gillum with the U.S. Right to Know. She's an investigative journalist and author of the book Whitewash, the story of a weed killer, cancer, and the corruption of science. Let's get to the current state of affairs with Roundup in the courts. We mentioned a few settlements over the years. Now, thousands more cases in the courts. But this ruling, this report from the EPA, people say this may make these court cases more difficult for the plaintiffs. What are you watching for there?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is. The EPA has really taken a remarkable move by filing an amicus brief on behalf of Monsanto, basically having their back in the litigation. The attorney general for the state of California has done the opposite and taken the plaintiff's side and saying that there is enough scientific evidence out there that you should at least be putting warning labels on these products. I mean, that's really what it's coming down to in the litigation. The plaintiffs aren't arguing that it should be banned. They're arguing that they should be warned, that because there is a body of science, even if it is still disputed, that shows that there are carcinogenicity concerns, that they should at least put a warning label on these products so that people can take that risk into consideration. But Monsanto has been pretty steadfast and Bayer, the new owner, about not wanting to put those labels on there. So, you know, that's really where it is right now. It's fascinating to watch. You don't know how it's going to turn out. We're in the appellate courts now, and we might be having oral arguments as early as April in California in the appellate court there.
And I know you're also watching another chemical, dicamba, a different weed killer. Last month, a jury in Missouri awarded a peach grower and farm owner millions, I think, in relation to that. Briefly, what is the story of dicamba?
Yeah, actually, I just collected about 1,000 internal documents today on that case. But yeah, the jury there found that BASF and Monsanto, who worked together on dicamba products, should pay $265 million to a Missouri peach farmer whose business, his farm, has essentially been put out of business because of this damage from drifting dicamba. And this is a completely different set of facts. There's not a human health concern necessarily. This is more of an environmental impact concern. And the documents that have come out through trial from these internal correspondence between the companies show that they knew and they planned for these products that they were introducing to do quite a bit of damage. And they anticipated how they were going to deal with it. And they essentially say in their documents, we know these products are going to cause damage. We're going to blame the farmers. We know there's going to be litigation, but we're going to blame the farmers and say they didn't, you know, properly steward their farms, didn't know how to grow their crops correctly and that sort of thing. So those documents really angered the jury, it seems like, showing a level of deceit and deception by the corporations. There are many more than 100 farmers have filed lawsuits. Many more are expected to. So that's a whole nother liability that's facing Monsanto's new owner, Bayer.
Carrie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Carrie Gillum, an investigative journalist focusing on food and agriculture and a former correspondent for Reuters International News Service. She's research director for the group U.S. Right to Know and the author of the book Whitewash, the story of a weed killer, cancer, and the corruption of science. We looked at the progress in the courts of lawsuits over a couple of major widely used weed killers in American agriculture. By the way, the race for the White House moves to South Carolina this weekend. The results could reshape a still crowded race. We'll be following and reacting to the outcome there on the Ideas Network on Monday. And you can hear live NPR coverage of the results in South Carolina's Democratic primary on Saturday. That's tomorrow, and it starts at 4 over on our other network. That's the News and Classical Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And as always, you can follow things online. Just head over to WPR.org and listen to the live stream there.